Packer. There are 679 airline cancellations nationwide already today as the Northeast is hit with a winter storm and the Boeing 737 MAX 9s being out of use. The aircraft, as the National Transportation Safety Board investigators arrive in Portland to determine what caused a section of that Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 to break off mid-flight Friday. Today is the first full day of the investigation, and they're asking for help to find the door plug that ripped off the plane. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy.
They're helping local law enforcement locate the door and components that came off the aircraft in flight. But now we need the public's help.
They believe it fell in Oregon's Cedar Hills neighborhood. Questions have been raised about why the Pentagon waited 4 days before telling the public that Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin had been hospitalized. The U.S. official confirms that the Pentagon did not inform the White House for 3 days. This is ABC News. Funeral services Saturday in Newark, New Jersey for Hassan Sharif, an imam who was shot multiple times outside of a mosque Wednesday and died at a hospital. After the services, representative of the New Jersey Muslim Coalition, Sami Shaban.
This incident has shaken our community to its core. It's shaken the Masjid Muhammad community. And most importantly, it's shaken the imam's family.
Calling on police to do more to investigate the murder and protect the community. It's time for one of the biggest cultural events of the year in the Big Easy.
Carnival season in New Orleans is officially underway. It all leads up to Fat Tuesday, and for local residents like Peggy Scott Laborde.
We treasure each day, and this is an early carnival, so we just have to pack more energy and more activities in.
It's good news for those who rely on the tourism dollar, as Mardi Gras was impacted by the pandemic, but experts say it's rebounded strongly. This year's season starts early, but also ends early. Fat Tuesday is February 13th.
That's ABC's Brian Clark. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he doesn't support efforts to keep Donald Trump off the presidential primary ballot in Wisconsin. The Democratic governor tells the Journal Sentinel that doing that would only anger the Republicans' base and justify Trump's claims the deck is stacked against him. 41 public schools in Milwaukee are tearing up playground asphalt and replacing it with trees and native plants. Kids get some relief on hot days.
There's often not very many areas of shade, if any, on these urban schoolyards. There's not a lot of things to naturally do.
Lisa Neeb is with Reflow, the nonprofit which is helping with the project. She says grades go up and behavior problems go down when kids have recess in more natural settings. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
It's Bears Week in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Well, the NFL could not have asked for a better scenario. The Packers and Jordan Love with a shot at reaching the playoffs in his first year at quarterback against the Bears. And quarterback Justin Fields with a chance to be the spoiler for their rival. Fields was asked at Hallis Hall what would it mean to the Bears to get a win and finish with a record of 8-9.
It'd mean a lot to the team, the fans, the city. I think it'd be great. You know, we know that Green Bay's playing for a lot at stake. They're playing for a playoff spot right now. So I just think with kind of all that on the table, I think, you know, it'd be great, a great feeling to, you know, end the season off with a win in Lambeau, you know, get ready to play ball.
The 3:25 p.m. start will be shown to 60% of the country and is expected to draw huge ratings. Jordan Love.
That's what you play for, right? You play for these moments, these opportunities to play in the competitive games. You know, you want to be playing these games to have a chance to go to the playoffs, and it's going to be fun.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds for your Sunday with northwest winds and highs of the upper 20s. Tonight, the clouds stay put. Upper teens expected by early Monday morning. Lower 30s Monday afternoon as we start to see a little bit of light snow, but better chances will be Monday night. It's 24 at our studios.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
It is Tim minus Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Happy New Year 2024. Anya, did you bring in the new year with happiness or with sadness, with cake, with what?
Are those the three emotions I'm offered? Happiness, sadness, and cake?
And cake. And because cake is always something you can be short of saying, I'm always with cake.
Sure, sure. I rang in the new year with falling asleep before midnight on my futon in my living room, watching videos of how to set up aquariums for a type of fish called a pea puffer, which is the world's smallest puffer fish, because that's how exciting my life is right now, Tim. Thank you for asking.
I was going to say, boy, you had no problem putting that out there for the whole world to hear, though.
I'm salaried to do that. That's my job now, I think, is to just tell you guys
Anya,
about me.
25 years young, New Year's Eve, in bed before midnight. Well, I got to tell you what I did on New Year's.
Go for it.
I went to the first ever in my town, friends of the village I live in, gala bash. And this is the first ever. And they forgot that starting, which is largely caters to a group of people 50 and older, that starting a New Year's Eve party at 6:30, that by 10:30, you're going to have a real problem with the people, you know, and I'm a little bit over 50, just a little bit, but the people in the 60 and the 70, 80 range, the 10:30, they were out, man. So
I'm horrified it was to hear not... I would have fit in better with the old farts crowd than.
Well, I was saying, I brought my 21-year-old daughter, okay. And she said it about 8 o'clock, Dad, I'm like, I know I'm legal now, but I'm really too young to be here. So we let her go. Oh, Anya, but Johnny will not be here tonight. He went to the NHL Winter Classic. We were talking about that. That's a hockey game that they have every year during, you know, right in January, and they have it in a football stadium. This year it was at the Seattle Seahawks. Johnny took his daughters to the game. On his way back, the weather decided to keep Johnny in his car for the rest of the evening. So Johnny, I know you're out there listening. Be careful, man. And, we look forward to seeing you next week.
Now, did the weather take Johnny out, or did Johnny maybe see the Zamboni do some cool trick tonight and think, you know what, this minivan of mine, I can move it like that. I can do an ice donut of some kind. Is that maybe more what happened?
We're going to have to talk to him to see if that's what happened. Johnny, you can call us. You know the number, 844-967-2789. But it is the new year. Last year, Johnny and I did a whole set of predictions. We'll kind of review that and come back to it. But this year, starting off with, a guest, Peter, it's been a long time, Peter Green, since we've had you on the show, and we are excited. Peter Green, curmudgeonication, his also posting that shows up in Forbes regularly, three education stories to watch in 2024. Peter Green, welcome to Busted Pencils. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. Thanks so much for having me.
We love it. You're there. Curmudgeonication, Forbes, you're getting it out there. You, though, it's interesting. Three stories to watch and then a little bit of a hanger out there of something we should be taking advantage. Is education that boring that there are only three stories we need to worry about for the year?
Oh, no. There are many more, but three seemed like an easier number to work with.
Okay. So we've got three. But before that, though, you know, I think this is one, Peter. You see if you think about it. I think another education story to watch, though, and maybe this fits in with some of the things you do, but the attack on higher education, I think, will become even more intensified. And we largely, you know, we talk about K-12, but this is an education, capital E-D, Busted Pencils, higher education. And for those, you know, like me who spend, you know, most of my waking hours in the higher education realm, watching what's been going on here, particularly if anybody's been focusing on since the disaster of the great three presidential testimonies in front of Congress, dealing with whether or not you're allowed to have free speech on campus. And if the speech we don't like, if you would punish students who spoke things that we don't like, but if we ever said that, we would say that you're against free speech. However, those presidents, now though, number two, Harvard president, has resigned. And people would say, well, you know, it's because she was a disaster. Peter, I say the reason she resigned is that this was a coordinated, very calculated attack by, and I'll just point it out there, Mr. Christopher Rufo, one of the new college board of trustee members, Mr. Critical Race Theory himself, Mr. I am going to spend every waking hour trying to take away any type of gains that have been done in education. I don't know, Peter, what do you think about the Harvard president, Dr. Gay, stepping down?
Well, honestly, it's not a story I followed super closely because K-12 keeps my hands full, but it does fit in the larger. I mean, Rufo and his crowd have a narrative that they often go back to, and the idea is basically that in this, all those crazy Marxist, commie lefties couldn't win out in the streets, so they went underground and took over all of the country's institutions, including higher ed. And from their position in higher ed, they've been indoctrinating young people ever since and convincing them to believe all these terrible anti-American Marxist ideas. So anything that, from their point of view, anything that will help destabilize higher ed and break it down and sort of take it back for good red-blooded Americans is a win.
But they're taking it back, and I'm glad you said that. What are they? Are they really taking it back from the leftist Marxist indoctrination machine, or what about that? Isn't that itself a myth, a kind of creature that doesn't really exist? And we talk about this because I say, you know, I know your focus is on K-12, which has also been the same thing. You know, we want to get rid of public schools. The idea here, though, is that if, and I've said this with either K-12 and higher education, if we were that darn good, if we were so good at ripping apart capitalism, if we were so good about creating a Marxist state, wouldn't we have done it by now if we were that powerful?
You'd think so. But you see this in a lot of the left and liberals simultaneously. They're super powerful and run this massive worldwide conspiracy that has been so effective. And at the same time, they're weak and terrible and awful and can't succeed at anything. But I mean, I think for some people, it's a grift. It's a way to go after power. And there are some people who I think truly believe, and I think the reasoning goes something like this. Our children and our neighbors' children would not have grown up to believe all these awful liberal ideas on their own. Nobody naturally thinks that way. Therefore, somewhere there must be somebody who's indoctrinating them, who's talking them into it. And so they start looking for the possible culprits that have been converting good American children into these liberal lefties.
But I said it's just, I mean, the evidence isn't there. We're still a mega capitalist society that is, you know, there just isn't the destruction of, quote, the institution of, and I don't even know what it is, but I like the way you pointed out, though, Peter, it's a grift to recognize that more than anything. I mean, my guess would be if an interesting story would be to kind of, you know, let's look at the bank accounts of these people who, you know, Mr. Rufo, please show us what you were making 8 to 9 years ago. Show us what you're making today. Throw and let us point it out there, because I think he's found, you know, and maybe this is the American way, the good old capitalist way, but he's found a great way to get lots of people to give him lots of money for him to say things that just makes him feel happy. And for the most part, though, is just mean and nasty. And on top of that, I look at it and go, like, he tries to come across as this principled, reasonable guy who's restoring, you know, in this one with the Harvard professor and the attacks on higher ed, it's restoring the meritocracy that has been stripped away by the leftists and this idea of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is going to be one of the things that you put in your piece, that he's just simply pointing out the leftist racism that he's trying to strip away and just let him do his work so that we can get back to plain old Martin Luther King colorblindness. You know, you're laughing. This is the part here, and I really wish that, you know, people like some of my neighbors who are cheering Christopher Rufo on would sit there and go, you know, he's not really doing anything that's great other than providing an example to me, very much like Trump, very much an example of saying, you know what, I get to be a jerk right now because I'm in power, and because I'm in power, I'm going to continue to be a jerk. I'm going to act horribly to people. I'm going to break people down. I'm going to do whatever I can, and I'm going to do all of this in the name of, I'm just restoring things back to the natural. And I love that I'm putting it out there. You know, the Martin Luther King, can't we all just judge each other by the soul in our bodies and not the skin on the outside of our bodies?
Yeah. I mean, that's the position. And Rufo is particularly impressive because he keeps pulling off the same trick, which is he announces very plainly, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it, and this is the trick I'm going to use to pull it off. And then he does it. And somehow, even though he's shown us behind the curtain, it works. It's magic.
It is. And maybe that is, if there are any kudos out there, is that it's not like he didn't tell us what he was going to do. As you pointed out there, Peter, he lays it out there and pretty much says, look, I'm going to punch you in the face with my left hand. And so we're surprised. Busted Pencils, more when we get back after the break.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? WIS Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online. Plus, earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Say it with me, the Boxing Six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest tonight, Peter Green, the commeducation writer in Forbes. His latest in Forbes, three education stories to watch in 2024. Took a little sidetrack on the first part of the show talking about our friend, Mr. Christopher Rufo. And not really. But his success in taking down another person, and he's all over Twitter gloating on just the simple fact that he just helped America become even better again. Peter, though, three stories and something else to watch in 2024. Number one, okay, did you make these in order of what you think are going to be like the most persuasive, or is this just a... how do we jump in here?
Well, might as well just take them in the order they come.
Okay. Number one thing, 2024. And if you want to jump in too, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Call us and join Peter and me and Anya. Peter, number one, taxpayer funded religious schools. Okay. Break it apart for us first. Taxpayer-funded religious schools. What does that mean?
The Supreme Court has been bringing us closer and closer to this over the last couple of years. There are three cases that frequently get brought up: Trinity Lutheran, Espinoza, and Carson. Carson's the most recent. This is the case in Maine, where Maine has kind of a unique, Maine and Vermont both have kind of a unique school voucher system, in that they already have a setup where if your community is too small to have their own school, you can have a voucher to send your child to the school of your choice. And their rule was you could send them to school. And Carson involved a lawsuit saying... The ultimate outcome of that was Supreme Court saying, no, if you're going to give vouchers for public schools, for non-religious schools, then you have to allow the vouchers to be used for religious schools as well. Mm-hmm. And that's the most recent step forward we've taken towards this. Now we're looking at Oklahoma, where Oklahoma has proposed the first charter school that is overtly religious. So In Oklahoma, St. Isidore's, actually a cyber charter school that would be run by the Catholic Church. Nobody's pretending that, I mean, there's no, as we've seen with some charters and some vouchers, there's no wink, wink, nudge, nudge. They've said, this is going to be a Catholic school. It's going to pursue the same goals as any other Catholic school, but it's going to be a public school, a public charter school funded by taxpayer money.
So we are going to take the money from the taxpayers, and we are outright, as you said, we're going to use it to, you know, we're going to teach some core subjects, but darn it, we're Catholics and we're not afraid to say it. And we're not afraid to make your kids, if they come to our school, take Catholic 101.
Well, your kids will take Catholic 101. And I think the other part of it, and the part that's troubling about this move, is Not only will we take your kid and teach them Catholic 101, but we will decide whether or not we'll take your kid in the first place. You know, just this last week, we had the umpteenth story of a Catholic school firing a teacher who turned out to be gay. You know, there are going to be students who admitted. We see this all the time with vouchers, but vouchers have always allowed a certain deniability. The whole idea of a voucher is we didn't give taxpayer money to the religious school. We gave the taxpayer money to the parents, and you know what they did with it then was their business. But with a charter school, with the setup in Oklahoma, we're going one step forward. There's no longer going to be any pretense. We're going to take this taxpayer money and we're going to give it directly to a private religious school.
Now, for somebody who's listening, I'm glad you broke that down too, because the vouchers, you say there was this potential of saying this. Yes, we know it's taxpayer money and we know we're doing this, but we know we're not giving it to religious schools, because I mean, prior to these Supreme Court cases, you just said there was this idea that, well, of course, we're going to say we're not funding religious schools because we know we're not supposed to do that. That's supposed to be some form of a wall of separation, or as I've had arguments with other people, like there is no separation of church and state in the Constitution. I'm like, I know there's no exact words like that, but read the first 10 amendments and go through that. And you tell me what that means. Read Thomas Jefferson's. But vouchers were this way, though, saying we're not using taxpayer money to fund religion. We're giving money to parents. They make the decision. Here, though, in Oklahoma, this is very specifically a Catholic charter school, which, quote, under the guise of charter schools is claiming to be some form of public. Therefore, they should be able to get public monies funded directly from the state of Oklahoma, from taxpayers, directly to that school. Somebody now, for me, and I think for Peter, is like, okay, maybe on the vouchers there was a technicality of you giving it to the parents, but here, this is, to me, this is direct state taxpayer money funding a religion. What could possibly go wrong with this, Peter?
Well, let me count the ways. First of all, it's worth noting that there are conservatives for whom this is a bad idea. One of the people who has sued to stop St. Isidore is the Republican Attorney General of Oklahoma, who says, if you do this, then you're going to open the doors to all sorts of religious schools, including, he points out, a slippery slope where Oklahoma taxpayers will have to pay for religious schools that aren't Christian.
Right. My goodness.
And do Oklahomans really want that?
Who does anybody want a non-Christian school? I know.
Yeah, a few. But yes, that's going to be part of the issue. And if you think past that point, you know, we're already seeing this argument being made in places like Iowa, where they got upset at a satanic temple set up in the state capitol. The solution that some people propose is, well, you have the government step in and decide who's a legitimate religion and who is not. You know, because as soon as you open the door to anybody who can open some kind of religious school and get taxpayer money, you're going to get everything. You're going to get all range of so-called religious schools. Next, you bring the government in to sort them out. Nobody wants that.
Yeah, I mean, think about that, right? Now, to me, how is that not perfectly crystal clear? And I think, as you said, the Republican Attorney General in Oklahoma sees this, but it's like this is the state mandating certain religions, and then more, you know, rightfully so, being worried about, geez, what if some, you know, non-Christian gets in power and wants to ordain the Satan school? Yeah, we put all these things out there, and you think about this, how this continues, why people continue to fight for this, is to recognize and somehow try to hide and say, but this isn't against freedom. This is the very assault on freedom. When we get back, more Busted Pencils, fully leaded, back with Peter Green.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. There are 679 airline cancellations nationwide already today as the Northeast is hit with a winter storm and the Boeing 737 MAX 9s being out of use. The aircraft, as the National Transportation Safety Board investigators arrive in Portland to determine what caused a section of that Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 to break off mid-flight Friday. Today is the first full day of the investigation, and they're asking for help to find the door plug that ripped off the plane. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy.
They're helping local law enforcement locate the door and components that came off the aircraft in flight. But now we need the public's help.
They believe it fell in Oregon's Cedar Hills neighborhood. Questions have been raised about why the Pentagon waited 4 days before telling the public that Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin had been hospitalized. The U.S. official confirms that the Pentagon did not inform the White House for 3 days. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two consultants hired to analyze new legislative maps for Wisconsin will be paid as much as $100,000 each in taxpayer money. Terms of their contracts were just made public. The state Supreme Court has ruled the old maps unconstitutional. Wisconsin state troopers are enlisting truckers and other commercial drivers to help fight human trafficking. The state patrol trains them to look out for warning signs potential victims may be sending out.
A lot of times these victims could be, you know, appearing fearful, submissive, timid in some cases. There might also be signs that their movement is, or at the very least, has been controlled.
Trooper Sean Bryan of the State Patrol. January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds for your Sunday with northwest winds and highs of the upper 20s. Tonight, the clouds stay put. Upper teens expected by early Monday morning. Lower 30s Monday afternoon as we start to see a little bit of light snow, but better chances will be Monday night. It's 24 at our studios.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The issue
American people must get done.
The memo says we gotta work in the defense.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, and of course the best bumper music out there. A little bit of Anti-Flag, Peter. I know you're jamming to some Anti-Flag out there. It's our guest, Peter Green, his piece in Forbes, Three Education Stories to Watch in 2024. We just finished taxpayer-funded religious schools. Before we move on to the next one, though, Peter, we got a caller, Mark. Mark from the SAC is on the line. Mark, what's happening? Thoughts on your – you got a prediction or you just want to feed to the conversation? Mark, what's happening? Well,
I just want to feed to the conversation. And believe it or not, I think there's kind of – there's a subtle link. And maybe it's too subtle and maybe I'm misreading. I think – maybe I'm misinterpreting that, that for Harvard, as I understand it from – some of my readings, that the Puritans initially established Harvard as a Orthodox Christian university to teach, you know, to teach their the young men, and I say young men, you know, because that's all they wanted going there, and the importance of reading Greek and Hebrew so they get a proper Orthodox interpretation of the Bible opposition to the Whore of Babylon church, that of course was a Catholic church, so they considered it. And it's fascinating to me now that a Catholic church in Oklahoma, which I don't know that it is actually a majority Catholic state, is you know, fostering this, because up until a few decades ago, I can remember a lot of hostility in the Pentecostal fundamentalist churches against Catholicism. You know, they considered it, you know, the Church of Satan, more or less, and that even though that is ridiculous, you know, on the face of it, they didn't even consider Catholics Christians, you know, that I had heard that spoken to me directly, that, you know, Catholics aren't Christians, and I said, well, what are they? Mm-hmm. Got no real answer to that, and it just is, but we just can't have the same, because there is no, supposed to be no recognized religion in this country. Contrary to what, you know, Mike Johnson, the current Speaker of the House, apparently forgot when he took his oath of office. The oath of office he took said there are no religious tests in this country. So that the state should not be funding an overt religious institution. I mean, that it clearly lends support to the tacit support to a particular religion, and should not be happening.
You know what, Mark, though, too, and Peter, jump in here, because and Mark's point here, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, having grown up a Catholic and, you know, not sure where I'm at today, but knowing this, I remember having conversations, and I was very shocked the one time when I found out from one of my friends that they didn't consider me a Christian because I was Catholic, and I was just kind of like, well, what do you think I am? They're like, you're Catholic. That's what you are. You're not a Christian.
You don't have to go back decades to find that.
No, that's what I mean. I mean, and because there aren't very many. Well, there's a few decades to go back for me. But I mean, thinking about Mark's point here, isn't that potentially too? And maybe that is some of the opposition from some of the right that is pushing on this, of recognizing, okay, wait a minute. If we're going to recognize religious public schools, hold on a minute. What are we doing recognizing a Catholic school first? Because the last I checked is, you know, as Mark says, from the puritanical standpoint, I mean, Catholic, that's an anti-religion.
No question about it. It'll come up eventually. I think right now what you're seeing is that the Catholic Church is by far, first, they've already got the educational infrastructure in place. And second of all, they're a powerful lobbying machine in terms of pushing vouchers and allowing this sort of thing to happen. But yeah, sooner or later, that conversation is going to happen in public instead of in private.
Well, and that's what we said, Mark. Really appreciate the call, Mark, from the SAC, because yeah, this is what's going to happen. And we sit there and go, there's a, you know, as much as, you know, there's something about going, what are you, anti-God? Are you anti-peace? Are you anti? No, I'm anti the government making that decision. I'm anti the government. I'm anti-government. I'm a freedom-loving American, Peter Green. I don't want the government telling me what to believe, what to worship. I still hold true to that whole freedom principle. All right, though, let's go. School discrimination backlash, something to watch in 2024. What are you talking about here, Peter?
Well, it comes right out of the growth of publicly funded religious schools, both voucher and potentially more regular public schools. I think people are becoming increasingly aware that one of the things that caused resistance to vouchers among many of the private schools that got them was the fear of government strings being attached. And what we've seen is most voucher laws are now passed with very explicit hands-off saying that if the school is taking government money, that doesn't mean the government can tell them what to do, what to teach, how to teach, can't affect their admissions policies. And what we're seeing is people are starting to look and see some of the policies that are out there. Illinois in particular, I want to point out, had a voucher law that weirdly enough had an expiration date. So they had till the end of 2023 to renew that voucher program, and they didn't do it, in part because folks uncovered and publicized the level of discrimination that was going on. Your child cannot attend this school unless somebody in the family is a born again Christian. Your child cannot attend this school if you indulge in certain inappropriate lifestyles. Your child cannot attend this school if they or anybody in the family is LGBTQ. In Pennsylvania, some folks have uncovered some of the same thing. In Pennsylvania, there's a school that says we reserve the right to reject any time for any reason, and we also reserve the right to not have to explain it to you.
I was going to say that. There's also the we reserve the right to reject you for no gosh darn reason other than the fact that we want to reject you.
Yes. And I think a lot of that has gone under the radar because when you tell people, yeah, your dollars are going to support a school that reserves the right to reject your kid for any reason, they don't believe that's real. I think it's slowly starting to sink in and will continue.
Well, not my kid, Peter, your kid, not my kid.
Well, I think it could be any kid.
No, I know. And that's what you're getting to. And so this potential of hope, you know, and I see this as good backlash, and this is a good story to watch in 2024 because, some people are going, it's like, wait a minute. I didn't realize that you were talking about my kid, and starting to recognize and go, hey, there is, you know, that whole public school, we take them all. We work with them all. You as a member of all have every right and obligation to come here. There's something about freedom for all that, boy, that might be worth protecting. Peter, let's move on though to DEI is the new CRT. What is with all these acronyms? You know, I mean, Johnny and I, we like PB&J.
There's probably something wrong with it.
Okay, but DEI is going to replace CRT in 2024. What do you mean?
DEI, which refers to I never get my initials right either, but diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. This makes a better target CRT ever did, because while Rufo and his crew were successful in redefining critical race theory to mean anything that conservatives don't like, to go out and actually attack it became difficult because it, particularly in K-12, say and not really find it.
There wasn't my goodness, there was no CRT in K-12 schools. So yeah, we can't attack what's not there, but we can attack, because as you say, very much, very pointedly, diversity, equity, and inclusion has largely, over the past 20 years, has taken a pretty big front row in institutions of saying, you know, what is your diversity, equity, and inclusion commitments? What are your clauses as you're becoming a candidate for a job at this place? What are your thoughts on diversity, equity, and inclusion? We have careers where people are, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion specialists. And so for you pointing this out and saying, what a better target than critical race theory, because DEI is everywhere.
It is everywhere. And because it's everywhere, it's even easier to find places where it's being done very badly and to hold those up as examples to kind of use them to paint with a broad brush all of the programs that are out there. And Chris Rufo, as is his style, has already announced that he will use this particular tactic, and he is going to target this particular type of program and use it to undermine certain initiatives on the left. And I think we can expect to see more and more of that in the coming year.
And can I just jump in too, Tim?
Yeah, Anya, jump in. Yes.
You had this statement at the beginning, like, why do we always go with these acronyms? I think it's important to know, you know, as we move from CRT to DEI, folks who are against these things are using the acronym, because if you came out and actually said what you were against, it would be way too clear what this is about. Like saying, oh, I'm against DEI is a meaningless statement, but actually having the something I can't say on air to say, oh, I'm against diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's like you're against those things. Yes. It's the same reason we changed Black Lives Matter to BLM. No one wanted to say, well, I don't think Black Lives Matter. They wanted to say, well, I don't like BLM, because that's a meaningless statement. It's like we can just shorten things until they don't matter anymore. Well, like anti-fascist, you had to take off one of those syllables, so now it's I'm against Antifa, so that you don't have to walk down the street saying I'm against anti-fascism. You're against anti-fascism.
You're against people who are against fascism,
which makes you all right.
Okay,
I can do that math.
Makes you good point though, Anya.
And as Rufo himself has explained, that is very much his technique to take the language, change the language, reframe the language in a way that is hard to defend, but which puts forth his particular agenda.
Cool. But I'm glad he's open about it.
He is, though, and Anya, and that's what he said. You know, I mean, this guy tells you he's going to punch you, and then he punches you.
I believe you now when you said that. I wasn't sure what you meant. Now I'm like, you know what? I think he did tell me he was going to punch me with his left hand. Okay.
And he does it. So it's like diversity, equity, and inclusion. And then you start to go, it's like, well, why am I against diversity unless, you know, you say, come on, look, I don't like different people. I don't believe in equity. And my goodness, there are lots of people who should be excluded. To say that is some people might go, well, I don't want to say that out loud, but I can definitely be against DEI. Especially if DEI was linked to CRT, because we know what CRT was, even though we don't. I mean that CRT was really bad.
It was bad stuff.
I mean, there were people out there talking about critically thinking about racism and how racism is bad. And racism is never mind, Peter. My God, you get me all hooked on on these words. Okay, but I know we're coming up here. I'm getting close. One thing though, Peter, I'm concerned about, you said something to watch, not necessarily a 2024, but that education in 2024, particularly in the presidential election, you think is going to be a kind of a minor contributor.
We keep waiting for education to be a big player in presidential campaigns. I don't think this is the year either.
Well, they must not have got the memo that Busted Pencil says that education is the top number one story all the time, every time. Peter Green, where can we find your work? We know Forbes, curmudgeducation.com.
Yeah, curmudgeducation.blogspot.com, Forbes.com. You can find me at the Bucks County Beacon, which is a Pennsylvania outfit that's worth reading. not just for me, but for other folks, and occasionally at the Progressive too.
Awesome. Peter Green, thank you for busting pencils. More when we get back.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Where they want your business.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Blue busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest on the show was Peter Green, writer in Forbes, curmudgeducationblogspot.com. Three education stories to watch in 2024: taxpayer-funded religious schools, school discrimination backlash, and DEI is the new CRT. Barely got in there. Anya, I mean, good stuff, but you know, I was hitting Peter at this. He's seeing education in the presidential election as being not a big deal. Am I upset because he's picking on education, or do I think it's going to be a big, I think it's a, maybe this is my problem. Even if somebody, quote, isn't mentioning it, to me, it's always related to education.
Sure, yeah, or it should be. I think the word that keeps falling away from these discussions about the current presidential run is the word should. Like, yeah, education should be the word on every candidate's lips now and every week and every week from here until November, but it's not. Like, I struggle kind of right now to find what this current election even is about. Like, is it about healthcare? Is it about... It's kind of just about the theory of what's going to happen with Trump right now, but it should be, among many things, education. Yeah, one of them.
Thank you for that, because maybe I think, yeah, that's more like it is that what is this election about really?
Yeah.
Other than a personality largely, which we can't stand. It's not going to be one on the quote issues. Depending on what issue you have, because, you know, largely we know what the issues are and who's going to be for this issue and who's going to be against that issue. When it comes, though, you know, to education, it's just this whole idea, though, of saying, OK, you know, so the future of climate, you know, people are like, well, yeah, that's not an wait. We have to learn about the climate. You know, becoming a climate scientist means you were involved in an educational endeavor. To understand systemic historical racism requires that you learn all of this stuff you learn in schools. And so the passion, you know, that we try to do here every week is to say, look, this stuff, you know, particularly if you're thinking about educating 89% of the population, this stuff matters, you know, and potentially even when we totally disagree with Moms for Liberty, Chris Rufo's and all these people, the fact that they're bringing a lot of attention to things that they don't like schools doing points out for me the number one issue here, which is schools can be or could be an incredibly powerful place for massive systemic change in a direction that favors the masses.
See, Tim, you're leaving off that S word, the FCC approved S word again, which is should. The schools should be a powerhouse for these things. We should be, and we're not. And it's because, I mean, not to make this political, but it's almost like it benefits someone or someone's for our kids to not be that smart, frankly. And it's sad to watch that be. And that's why I worry about, like, what is the point of the current run? Some of the point, like from DeSantis and folks, is, hey, we should expand this really dumb theory on education to the whole nation where you don't get to say certain words or talk about certain topics. That's what they think this should look like. And maybe we should be more vocal about it not looking like that. Obviously, we are on busted pencils, but everybody else.
When you're talking about that word that used to mean happy that the left stole. And
I guess so.
Now,
yes.
Yeah.
Made
that word about, you know, sex. And we can't do that. Actually,
yeah,
Peter
totally.
Green, and go to his curmudgeducationblogspot.com. He actually has a post that's pretty darn interesting that I was going to talk to him about here, where he kind of goes through all of the books that have been banned in Florida because of Don't Say Gay.
I just did that too on Maggie's show. I went through a lot of books and why they got banned, and it's ridiculous. It really will be like, the word gay appears once in 900 pages. It has to leave.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And guess what happens now too on this? And sadly, it has to go this way. But at some point, somebody's going to go, but I didn't want that book banned.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Wait. No, that wasn't supposed to be on the list. It's gone too far now. And sadly, though, this is what we tried to tell you from the beginning of book banning, is that when you make any decision to ban any book, your book will get on the list at some point in time.
That's so correct.
And you will, you know, and so we might not like the books we're defending, but we defend them because if not, somebody's going to find my books and put them in the hot seat. And that is what's now going to happen with book banning. Oh my God. I think about this though, but yeah. So my commitment, and I know Johnny and I know Anya though, is if you're listening to Busted Pencils in 2024, our projection is that on this show, education will ring solid throughout all of 2024. It will be the issue that we talk about all the time on this show, because we said, guess what? When it comes to freedom, when it comes to the ability to make wholesale change and lift full communities in a direction that can empower people for the positive, there just is no other institution like formal public education that has that ability to do good on you. That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I agree. That's exactly it.
You know, and as you said, I mean, and the attacks on public education, while maybe, you know, Peter's right, education might not be, quote, a big story going into the 2024 presidential race, the attack on education will continue to be a horrible, nonstop, constant story. And I guess maybe that's what we're saying here with Busted Pencils, is every week we're going to be here because we know that book banners will not stop. We know for a fact that trying to fund my religious school by somebody will take precedence, will move forward in a direction that is unforgivable. All these things. It's Busted Pencils.
Want more Busted Pencils?
It's follow us on Facebook. Back after the next week.
Or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Lake Air. WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer.